Great. So I'm delivering the third talk. Don't worry. I won't be too long. Is that a good thing? I don't know. We'll find out when I get into it, and it's amazing. But before we start, I'm going to pray because I need it. Great. Father, I pray just for this talk. I just pray that you'd bless it. Father, that you would speak to every one of us here, and that what's of you would come through, and what is not of you would just fall away. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Can you all just turn to the person on your left and just pray for them? Just pray that you would pray God's blessing on them and pray that it would be filled with the Holy Spirit. Just put your hand on the shoulder or say hello or whatever. And then do the same for the person on your right. Pray God's blessing on them and pray that they be filled with the Holy Spirit. Great. And that's tactical because it gives me a chance to sort my paper out. Not just a pretty face. Yeah, I have to number them. Yeah, I should have done that, shouldn't I? Great. So what I'm going to be looking at today is what can we do about slavery, people trafficking. It's a great talk, really excited for it. But I'm just going to backtrack. Because of my, the Lord has not gifted me with the skills of administration. I hear a few amens there or whatever. I thought I was doing two talks this morning. So Andy luckily took one of my talks, well, the talk that he was supposed to do in anyway. So I've got a little bit, but I think it's really good. I did some work and found out some really good stuff. Because a lot of people and a lot of young people, and I went, I did a fantastic debate in Garth with a humanist. And it was really, really challenging. So it was me and him, and then, so I was like sat there, and then he was sat here, and then a class of like 30 young people, and they were able to grill me and him, and it was fantastic, a great privilege to be there. And I faced some really challenging questions about hell, about God, does God exist, all these fantastic, really good stuff, aliens even, you know, so all of it was there. And what I had some really good conversations with young people, and they were saying Christianity is boring, it's untrue, and it is irrelevant. And let me tell you, that is not the case. We believe in a God who is passionate, who cares about what we're going through, and cares about each and everything that we do. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit from Deuteronomy, and it's chapter 15, and it's just talking a little bit about slavery. Okay, so it's entitled Freeing Servants, this passage. If any of your people, Hebrew men or women, sell themselves to you. Now, I'm going to stop right there because we've heard something really important. Sell themselves are the words that I want us just to think about. There's an element of control and authority in what's being said. What we've looked at is people have been taken and their lives have been taken control of. The Bible's talking about people selling themselves. So in biblical times, I'm not defending slavery here, so hear me right, but I want you to take a biblical view of what it was like then. Because as time changes, the different understanding, I'm not justifying slavery, and I don't think the Bible is, because what Jesus stands for is not what happened to those two girls there. That is absolutely abhorrent and should never happen. But let's get a biblical understanding of what's going on in this passage. So the men and the woman would sell themselves and serve you for 6 years. This is carrying up verse 12, if you're with me. In the seventh year, you must let them go free. And when you release them, do not send them away empty-handed. Supply them liberally from your flock, your threshing floor, and your winepress. Give to them as the Lord your God has blessed you. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God freed you. This is why I give you this command today. You see, in biblical times, people would often sell themselves to someone else because they had debts, they couldn't afford to feed the family, whatever. And it was then the master's responsibility to feed, to provide, and to protect them. So it's a different view of what God says how that should be. Okay, what happened to those two young ladies is absolutely abhorrent. And it should not have happened. You see, the thing is, we have a responsibility to ensure that stuff like that doesn't happen. Masters have a huge responsibility for their employees, for their slaves. That's what the biblical view is. Okay, so what can we do? Now, the first thing that we must do is always pray. It's fantastic. It's very simple. It's not rocket science. You all just did it then, so you've all been practiced today. So in Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." So pray, seek God, just spend some time saying, "God, this is not right, this situation. This can't continue. I'm desperate for it to stop." It's so, so important. This week, my goddaughter came down and visited. She's 6 months old, and she's very small because she's 6 months old. And I changed maybe like 3 nappies as well. And I was just kind of in awe of, of the noise that would portrayed from this tiny little thing, infant baby. It was incredible. But, you know, as well, I'd hold her and she'd look at me and sometimes laugh and then cry, as many people do. but I thought, flipping heck, what a huge responsibility. What a huge, for me, privilege to be the godfather of this precious gift, this baby. What a responsibility I feel. Yeah, I know, Steve saying, what are they doing, having me as a godfather? Brilliant. But what a precious gift, what a responsibility that I have to ensure that that child is brought up in the ways of the Lord, in the right and true way. So, so important. That life is precious, but everyone's life is precious, and we must act like that. So one of the things that I've been thinking about is that I need to get wise. I need to get a little bit of wisdom. And when I was growing up, I don't know if you have had one of these people in your life, but I certainly did. One of those people who would just, you'd look up to and think, wow, one day I'm going to be as clever as this person. And for me, this guy was called Graham Stanford. And I got to know him through an organization called Sports Reach that would coach football to young people and children. And would use that as a tool for communicating the gospel. It was fantastic. And I went there as a coach and sort of spent some time with this guy. And his routine was every day he would read a chapter of Proverbs just to get a little bit more wisdom. And it's a great book. So let me read you a little bit of Proverbs chapter 4. "Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me and he said to me, take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom and she will protect you. Love her. And she will watch over you." Now, that's just the first 6 verses. It's a fabulous chapter, chapter 4. Get wisdom and get understanding. Be discerning in how we want to approach this issue. You know, be discerning in what is the right way to do something. You see, and as I was writing this talk, I was thinking about, obviously, slavery and William Wilberforce, and I watched the trailer of Amazing Grace, a fantastic film. It came out in about 2006, 2007. Check that film out if you've not watched it. But I was thinking, well, hang about. In what areas of my life am I a slave? In what areas of my life am I a slave? And I think there are some areas of my life that I'm a slave to, that I'm not in control of. And for me, I was chatting and I was saying, God, what areas of my life am I a slave? And I was led to Romans chapter 6. It's slaves to righteousness. That's what this passage is entitled. Starting at verse 15. What then? Great start. What then? Good question. Well done, Paul. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be a slave to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and I've become slaves to righteousness. And that's what I'm desperate to become. It's kind of a slave to God's will and to God's way. Not in a way that's going to control me, because that's not what Jesus is about. He's not into sort of boxing us in and squeezing us down and being like Big Brother. You know, John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and life in all fullness. That's the essence of why Jesus came. So that's what this is about. But I want to challenge you. Maybe you feel like a slave in some area of your life. Maybe you feel like there's a part, there's something that's taking control, there's something that's weighing heavy over you. If you do feel like that this morning and you want to talk about that, pray about that, there's a nice little front row here. Come and find myself or Andy. And we want to pray with you. We want to support you. We want to work as a family, whether it's an illness or anything. We just want to pray with you. I came across a fabulous quote from Albert Einstein, and it was actually something that I could understand, because the guy was obviously a genius. He said, "The world will not be destroyed by evil. It will be destroyed by good people who do nothing about evil." I see that as a huge challenge. See, we can all be slaves to something. We can all be controlled by something. But are you going to stand up and fight? Are you going to take your life back? That's the challenge this morning.